Good evening and welcome back to another edition of the JMU Sports Blog Podcast. I'm Todd. I'm joined as always by my friend Rob. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
Good. I thought I would say friend instead of buddy to make it a little more formal tonight.
Wow, we're mixing it up.
We're mixing it up here. Yes. I don't know, Rob. Well, let's just say go see Mossy Creek. Go to the fly fishing store.
Yes.
Right. Tell them that Jamie's sports blog sent you.
I understand you can fish on campus in Bridgeforth today. Yeah. Isn't there another flood this evening?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I believe campus flooded again today. It's Monday. Yes. Recording. There was some rain down there. And I think the area by Mr. Chips that always floods, I believe, was a bit of a river today.
No, but if you mention the podcast, you get a free Mossy Creek sticker, including the cool fish ones. So thanks for doing that. On a second, just public service announcement, Rob, I thought we were done with the ticks after the CAA, but I've pulled two of them off myself in consecutive days today that I'm fairly certain came from separate activities. So everybody, please take care of yourself out there right now and watch your pets. So,
yeah, man, that's scary. Like I've never
Bob Barker out here.
So, I don't think I've ever had one, which scares me, which makes me think maybe I've got like millions of them that I've just.
Well, what freaks me out.
Known.
Okay.
They're really off. Tiny. I pulled them off my kids.
And this is what I can say. The two I've got this week were huge. Or the one
that's
yesterday.
Good.
We were out. We ran the dogs like off leash, like in a place where we knew we had to check. And the big one, you know, it's obvious. And then even tonight, went for a run and then came home and it was like right in my hairline. It was another big one. I mean, you could feel it like moving around, but they freaked me out because I don't know. It was like two summers ago. We went on this thing with the dogs and I had like 400 of these tiny ones on my legs. Like, and those are so much worse. Like, yeah. So anyways, just check yourself, everybody. It's a problem this year. I don't know. And I don't know anything about this, but it's been wet. It's getting hot again. It's time. And put the stuff on your dogs or whatever you do. So.
That frontline stuff.
Yeah, whatever your choice is on that kind of stuff, but whatever you can do to help them out. Besides that, Rob, we are here tonight to talk about spring sports, to celebrate, the winding down of the year, a year that was historic. I mean, incredibly successful, right? And I think all of us should be celebrating the success of this year and, celebrating saying goodbye to a lot of the leadership that, has guided us to a historic year like this. Just getting ready to fully turn the page we're not saying it's the end of the golden era. We're just saying it's the end of an era. Right.
That's a transition.
Yeah. It's a transition. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously president, AD, coaches at the two most high profile programs. It's a transition. That's what happens. And I don't know, Rob, I do feel really old as I started in the tick. Started talking about ticks tonight, but also, I was just blissfully unaware of various pop culture things this weekend, Rob. I think there was some beef or something, right?
The Drake and Kendrick?
Among others, yep.
Amongst others. And then the equivalent in the JMU Twitterverse.
Right. Yeah. And then there was like a roast that last night, I guess, that was uncomfortable or wonderful or some combination of both. But I was also unaware of this, right?
I watched a little bit of the Tom Brady thing. I watched some of it. It's long. And I say that as one of the guys responsible for this nonsense, which goes on for an hour and a half every week.
Yeah, we're gonna be quick.
I think it was like 3 hours. I made it through half of Nikki Glaser and then I tapped out.
Okay.
I'll go back and watch bits and pieces of it for sure. Yep. But I don't know. I mean, those things are often funny, but they often are well edited. Mm-hmm. This one was live. So I'd imagine there's a bit of fat that should have been trimmed, but whatever. I don't understand what would make somebody like Tom Brady want to do that personally.
No, I don't either.
Just to go up there and have professional comedians. It's one thing to have like your buddies. I think it was like Gronk and Edelman and Belichick. That's kind of fun because then you can toss it right back out.
I thought the Eli tweet today was pretty funny.
Yeah. Eli, you know, I mean, Eli's my guy.
Yeah.
He is legitimately funny. He's got a very funny sense of humor, in ways beyond just going after his big brother. But he's funny. I don't know, but like, I've got pretty thick skin when it comes to like hanging around with the guys and talking trash and stuff like that. I don't know if I could sit up there in front of an entire arena and how many millions of people online or whatever, and just have professional comedians rip me a new one. Like that's not a fun way to spend an evening to me.
No, no. I can't even like,
they were coming after him for like, you know, the Bridget Moynihan stuff and
oh yeah,
the Giselle and the karate teacher. Like it was rough, man. I don't know. People are just built differently than I am.
Yeah. I mean, you and I can't even like hack it in the mean Twitter streets sometimes. So mm-mm. Like, you
know, we just stay out of it. No,
we just stay out, entirely right. out yeah. of it. I don't know. And on the sports front, I guess maybe we should just watch more racing type things. All the racing stuff this weekend was where my attention was, and it was wonderful.
Right. Couple photo finishes. Yeah.
Yeah.
With Derby, the horses too. The
NASCAR race was incredible. The, and then of course for me watching the cycling was amazing this weekend. So, but the women's Vuelta and the men's Giro started this weekend with like incredible starts. So yeah. Anyways, we're going to go through a few things. Rob, we're going to talk lacrosse, softball, baseball tonight. Rooting for Kendall Turner, and who's playing in one of the regionals for golf. And I know there's some track athletes still going, but we are coming to graduation this coming Friday at JMU. Huge congrats to the dummies who are leaving Harrisonburg. As has somehow been dug up in the last week, Rob, your efforts at encouraging them not to leave.
I saw people tweeting that. I didn't go back and read it, but yeah.
Still exist. Yeah. I didn't know. I get the internet never forgets. But and I do want to encourage everyone. One thing that's going to be wonderful this Friday, I think I already got in trouble because I wasn't even supposed to like say that I was aware of something or other. But I did learn, I had forgotten. I didn't actually learn. I just had forgotten that the Duke Dogs do, when they graduate, they get to do like a Duke Dog reveal video. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how many of them are graduating this week, but I have a feeling those videos are going to be pretty fun. The end of the week this week. So everybody keep an eye out. I don't know.
They do videos. Where is it? Some schools have different traditions where like they wear the mascot's feet under their gown.
Yeah, I don't actually know. They may still do something like, I think that may be a thing that you get to wear them at graduation or something, but more to come on all the mascot front this summer.
Good mascot. Did you ever hear Brock's interview on Bernie's podcast?
I think so.
Being the Duke dog? But it's really good. It's the Pot of DC. Our buddy Rick Bernstein has this podcast. It's really good. Interesting. Just like has interviews with interesting people from all over the DMV. He interviewed Brock Leonard, former Duke dog, and Brock talks about like the tryouts and everything. And it's hilarious. Like Brock just assumed that was like the biggest thing on campus. Like everybody would try out. Like obviously mm-hmm. Duke dog is, we're as fanatical about our mascot as any fan base in the country. But Brock thought it was going to be like literally every single student vying for it. And he showed up and it was like, you know, half a dozen people trying to. Yeah. But it's pretty cool. Definitely go check it out wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Yes. I've learned also just mascot things are really funny. I don't know. More to come on this summer. Yep. We'll see. We also want to congratulate. I did see the thing. Rob, did you see Sam Clark, our former punter, and John Daca both signed deals?
The CFL.
CFL deals.
I did.
Which is cool. So congrats to those guys. I had forgotten that they're joining five other guys. There's seven guys who will be attempting to make CFL rosters this in the next month or so, right? So Daca goes to the Toronto Argonauts. Sam Clark goes to Montreal Alouettes. Both Percy and Devin Ravenel headed to Vancouver for the BC Lions. Ish Hyman keeping his career going with the Calgary Stampeders. Todd Centeno getting a chance to play potentially for the Edmonton Elks. And Bryce Carter with the Ottawa Redblacks. So kind of cool to follow those guys. I know we were all a little disappointed with some of the NFL draft stuff. But, you know, still hoping for some other guys. I think in particular Jalen to, you know, get a shot somewhere. But will be fun to watch these guys in the CFL as well. So, I mean, it's been fun watching Liam Fornato in the Redbirds UFL. So, All good there. And on a similar note, congrats to Clay Obara from men's soccer, who signed with the USL League One Charlotte Independence this week. So former midfielder for the Dukes, really successful last couple of years. So all those are really good right now. Yeah, so congrats to all those guys, and pretty cool news. Rob, I guess we'll start with lacrosse, right? Another JMU team makes the NCAA tournament is the headline, right?
Yeah, I guess that is the headline, but this has been a weird year of ups and downs. Obviously, like, JMU lacrosse started off the season and had us all thinking big thoughts. Like, you know, this is a national championship contender. Then they hit a bit of a rough patch, and then they had the chance to kind of avenge an earlier loss to Florida in the AAC championship on Saturday, and it did not go well, can we say?
Right, no. Like, it's so confusing, though. How did they – both these games were, like really tight for a half.
And then they were
and
not.
And then just, like, the wheels come off? Like,
yeah. What?
Hmm. I know lacrosse is a little weird that way, just because, like, draw controls are everything, and, you know, it sets up the chance to just make a run.
Yeah, it's a little bit like basketball in terms of, like, a game of runs is something you were alluding to there.
Yeah.
That was weird, but, like, I didn't even know if they were going to get a bid last night. Like,
no, I didn't either. It was a bit of a surprise. I think the team didn't know for sure either, just judging by their reaction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They finished the season 13-5, ranked 19th. They were as high as number 2 early in the season. They lost 21-11 to Florida in the Sun Belt Championship game. They had
AAC.
Yeah. They had played pretty well in pretty much handling Temple in the semifinals. I think it was like 16-9 or 17-9. You know, so we had high hopes going in the championship. Ava Bleckley was named AAC Freshman of the Year. Congrats to her, which is very cool. And I think big picture, like, as much as we were nervous about the bid last night, Rob, that is the 9th straight year they have made the tournament. Every one of them since 2015. It's hard to complain about this program, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah.
It's still a top-notch program. And who knows? I mean, like,
oh, this is
they,
set
they
up.
Could, it, what are they? Yeah. They're certain Penn State.
Yeah, we're not going to, like, run through the whole bracket. I think we're going to take it one at a time this year. But they play at Penn State to start.
Yeah, a team and who that knows, they, man? If they, yeah, if they play like the beginning of the year, they could.
Yeah, and we know that they played Penn State before they played North Carolina. They played Penn State in an exhibition, you know, like a preseason game.
Preseason.
Yeah, so it's not like these teams are going to be. I mean, I think that was not the best day for JMU, but obviously it's a preseason game. And I also think that, like, these teams are not going to be afraid of each other. Like, they have seen each other this season back in February. And then the same thing. If they win, they're likely going to play Maryland, who they also played this year, right?
And they played Penn State in the NCAA tournament before, have they not?
They have twice, actually.
Yeah.
So, these teams are very – I mean, and obviously it is the shortest trip in the world from Harrisonburg to Steak. I mean, it's not long. You know, at least all the friends and family will be at the game on Friday. So it's Friday at 3 p.m. on ESPN+. And they have Isabella, so, like, and Matty Epke and – you know, really good players. So
I think you just need to treat it like, hey, whole new season.
Completely.
You turn the page, you say, hey, look, we had our ups and downs, but doesn't matter. You go with all the coaching cliches you want about, like, everybody's starting up 0-0 and mm-hmm. we've got one tournament this weekend, we're going to advance next week's tournaments. But, like, I think that's largely true, man.
And I think if things were to break their way, if they play well and they win, their road is, like, their part of the bracket, as we said, is Penn State, likely Maryland, who plays Robert Morris on Friday as well, but likely Maryland, who they've seen before, and then North Carolina or Florida, most likely, two teams they've also seen this year. Like there's nothing surprising about, I don't know, they don't play Northwestern, who's the number one seed. You know, they don't play Denver or Boston College or some team they've never seen before this year. Yeah, I could see them getting really fired up and sort of digging in. I mean, let's put it this way. The scout is not going to be difficult for any of these games, I don't think, for the coaching staff or the players. Like, when you decide, like, when they look at the game plan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, they're going to know what they're up against, who the keys are, what they have to do.
I would just think in a weird way, you're almost just excited that the regular season is behind you. And you probably wouldn't normally think of it like that. But this season, with like the expectations being through the roof 2.5 months ago, to really like being on the bubble this weekend, now you're just like the relief and like, okay, let's just get like, you're kind of playing with house money at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And they're in, right? I mean, this is another team, right? Men's soccer, women's soccer, men's basketball, like, you know, it's just another volleyball, another team that makes the NCAA tournament again in this historic year at JMU.
Yeah, it's been remarkable.
Yeah, it really has. And so just huge congrats. And we can't wait to watch them on Friday. I mean, and just would love to see them get the opportunity to play Sunday or Monday or whenever the second game would be. You know, they beat Maryland in the second round last year, Rob, right? Yeah, I mean, like, so they're right back in the same boat. I guarantee you Maryland's not happy to see JMU Penn State on the other side of their little pod, you know, like.
No, that's a tough bracket.
Yeah, so interesting there. And congrats to them on making the tournament, no matter, you know, even if we've all been a little, you know, kind of holding our breath, hoping they can find their groove again. But big congrats to them. I think next we'll go to softball, Rob, just because baseball has another week plus of regular season. Softball wrapped up their regular season this weekend. I'm sure they're a little disappointed. They only took 1 of 3 from Coastal. I think they probably felt they should have won the series. Also cost themselves the 7 seed, so they are the 8 seed. They will play the 9 seed Southern Miss on Wednesday at 5 p.m., I say it's unfortunate. I don't think they care about playing Southern Miss versus like whoever they would have played in the 7-10 game. But obviously the 8-9 winner gets #1 seed and, you know, heavy odds on favorite Lafayette in round 2, which would be at 11 a.m. Thursday. So whatever happens, this is going to be, you know, we're going to know.
It's going to be quick.
And these are one game, you know, one game deals. In the Sun Belt. And I think JMU is still very capable. They finished the regular season at 30-21, 12-12 in the Sun Belt. I think the 12-12 is probably more disappointing than the 30-21. You know, I just think they expected to be in the top half of the Sun Belt and they weren't. So it thinks very close in the middle. They did win the last game. I was very happy for this senior class. They did win the second half. They sort of got messed up by the weather this past week, and everybody will know what it was like on Saturday with the wet weather. So they played a doubleheader Friday, which kind of moved up their senior game, you know, to the second half. So the second half of the doubleheader, they did win. And that was like the senior game. And it is important. It's so weird in softball, Rob, but I just wanted to kind of, you know, celebrate this senior class. This is the last of, this is the end of the World Series participants, you know. And it's kind of interesting looking back. I mean, Molly Grube and Abby Pender are seniors that are graduating, but they did not, they obviously were, you know, they transferred into JMU, haven't been here the whole time. Reed Butler is a graduate student, did her senior day last year. So they didn't celebrate her, but she was part of that team.
She was part of the team.
Right. And then Hallie Hall, Liz Humphrey, and Kylie Thress. It was kind of interesting. Obviously, Liz Humphrey, Reed Butler, you know, have been, you know, I mean, they're first team JMU softball, you know, like they've been big parts of these things. And Liz Humphrey was in particular a huge part of the World Series team throughout that season. But Hallie Hall and Kylie Thress both contributed back in the World Series. I think both of them were playing. It played in Oklahoma City. Thress, who has been an interesting player, a really speedy player who's been often used as a pinch runner and was often used as a pinch runner during that postseason run way back when. It was cool for her. She went out with 3 hits on her final game. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I don't know that she hasn't been like a everyday starter this season. So it's kind of cool. Like her senior day, you know, she really gets a chance to play and goes nuts, which was cool. And just getting a chance to watch those four and what they've meant to the program, what they've been a part of, and then what they've been through since 2021, what they went through in 2022, and sort of the, and what they've gone through with the transition from 23 and 24. I probably have as much thanks for those four players as anybody in any sport, sort of for what they've been to JMU in this crazy last 2, 3, 4 years. And just really looking forward to watching them play their hearts out on Wednesday and Thursday and hopefully beyond this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, this is a tough one to really judge because like you said, this is a top softball conference. League. Yeah. It's really good. I know a lot of the big softball schools that were already in the Sun Belt were very excited about JMU joining. And I think if we're being objective here, we got to say like, this is not the expectation that anybody had, you know, for JMU fighting for an 8-9 seed situation. Or when you talk about, I think most of us were thinking, when do we face the one seed or are we the one seed was the sort of conversation that JMU softball fans want to be in. And it wasn't going to be at a Thursday morning, you know? So I still think there's a lot of potential in this program. I think they can get up to that level, but this is not where we thought. Coming off that World Series appearance a couple of years ago, and then the transition to the new conference, I don't think this is where most JMU softball fans thought we'd be. And I don't think anybody's really particularly satisfied. There's been a lot of stuff going on, obviously, the tragedy off the field. Yeah, I mean, the
death of Lauren Burnett, it just looms over everything.
Looms over the entire thing. I don't think you can just push past that or act like it isn't a significant thing and there aren't going to be repercussions or...
Yeah, just effects.
Hangover is an inappropriate term, but like that can linger for a couple of years. I do think though, like people are looking for this program really to kind of like ramp it back up and get up to the level where we all know it can be. And we saw signs like this year. There's some good freshman arms and some good people, but not necessarily the level of like a Megan Good or Jalen Ford or Odyssey Alexander.
No, this team's been weirder to me than lacrosse, Rob, because lacrosse has like 3 or 4 superstar players, but I didn't know if they were ready up and down the lineup yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we had questions coming into the season and some of those questions have been answered, you know, in ways that we maybe hope they'd be answered differently. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a knock on any particular player. It's just, we knew coming into the season, this was like Bella and Maddie and a couple seniors coming back off injuries. And hopefully they could like elevate a bunch of young talent.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a sure thing, you know. Softball's been a little weirder to explain, I think, especially this year, because there is talent here. And like, to me, if anybody in the Sun Belt can beat Louisiana in a one game situation, it's this team. Like I would put JMU up against anybody on a one game, on a one off game. Like,
well, the one game thing is the ultimate wild card.
Yeah. They hit for power. I think they're second or third in the league in home runs, are leading the league in home runs. I mean, you know, Mathis, Butler, like there are some hitters in this lineup. They've had performance. I mean, Humphrey, Fleet, they've had good pitching performances at time. I think it's gonna be interesting how they approach these games this week.
Well, it's also interesting when you talk about Fleet. Like Fleet, I think, has very high potential, but I'm not sure that anybody's ever gonna judge her by her own merits versus judging her against, you know, the Mount Rushmore of JMU pitchers in the past.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the thing, even with Humphrey, right? Yes. Where you're looking at Alexander, Ford, Good, Humphrey, and now you're to Fleet and you expect this to just be the next thing. And
well, also like while Odyssey was doing Odyssey things and we were coming when Megan Good was just barely in the rear view, Alyssa had that amazing performance with the national team. So it was like, it put the bar to a level that like, it's very tough to meet. Alyssa's had a tremendous career. Todd, you've talked at length about how much she's done in terms of the way she's represented the program through.
Yeah, I mean, she won first she won 14 or 15 games when Odyssey was out the World Series year to keep them in position to even give Odyssey a chance again, you know,
to go on that.
And then she's been like really an outspoken leader after losing her best friend, like, you know, and roommate, like in the program. I mean, we're just old guys seeing this from afar, but I just, I don't know. And I like the joy that her and Reed Butler in particular have played with this year. Mm-hmm. And it makes me happy. And it I hope that they, you know, in some ways, I hope that maybe they've come away from their college careers understanding there are more important things than softball, you know?
Yeah.
Does that hurt you on the field a little bit? I don't know, you know, like, but is that a good thing for them as people? I sure hope so, you know?
I just think though, like it, I think the team can reach really high levels without needing to find another once in a generation pitcher. And Jamie, you found three once in a generation pitchers in succession.
Yeah. And I do think the game has changed a little bit just in the last couple of years. I mean, I watched a little of that Oklahoma State series this weekend. They were like crushing everybody's pitching. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, these are the best pitchers in the country. And lineups are teeing off on everybody's pitching, you know?
Have you gone to a game in person?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot. Like,
I went to, James played at the Nationals youth baseball facility thing.
Okay.
Really cool. They've got like a 90-foot diamond and then two little league diamond and a softball diamond. And Georgetown and UConn were playing softball. Yeah. It was Georgetown senior day. The same time that James was playing, we had doubleheader went over there. You forget it's a complete bandbox when you're there in person. Like, I mean, yes. It's like, to me, it seems more like box lacrosse than it does baseball or something. Like, those girls are the bravest people on earth to sit, what are they, 45 feet away from the batter on the corners? It's crazy how fast it is and how tight the action is. And it's like pinball.
Yes.
In there. So I don't know. It's like you watch it on TV and you know it's smaller than like, I'm not trying to like make everything about baseball, but I've watched a heck of a lot more baseball in my life. Softball's under me. And you kind of adjust in your own head, but just the camera's angles, like when they pan to the outfield, there's no panning in real life. It's in the outfield.
No, they're like right there. No, right they're there. Like chatting. Like,
yes.
You know, in a baseball game, you see like the second baseman and the center fielder like yelling to each other.
Correct.
Here, you're just turning around and talking in a normal voice.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you can hear over the chants from the dugout, you know, it's crazy. But it's crazy because it's the same size that my kid played on in Little League when he was in like fifth and sixth grade. Yep. But these are full grown athletes, like world class athletes in a lot of cases. It's nuts, man. Like I was blown away seeing in person. And Georgetown, UConn, they're tremendous athletes, but it's not like I was watching Oklahoma and UCLA. You know,
or even JMU Louisiana.
Yeah.
Right. Like, So
anyway, it's just,
I know
one in a single elimination tournament, anything can happen, but I am curious to see how this program evolves in the next couple of years. And if they can start to put together more of like a total roster approach. And you mentioned it, there's probably more depth of talent than fans only looking at the record realize.
Yes.
We've just got to get to a point where we're away from the shadow of the, let's just go get an all-timer and put her in the circle. I don't know if that's a sustainable strategy, just to count on that. But I do think there's the opportunity to really step up and raise the overall level across the roster and compete in the Sun Belt. And that's the goal. We didn't go to the Sun Belt to finish eighth or ninth.
And I'd love to hear from Coach Libby or Coach Laporte or Fleet herself after the season, like at someday, you know, you'd love to hear like, it's a big difference between coming in as a highly touted freshman and pitching in the CAA versus coming in as a highly touted freshman and pitching in the Sun Belt.
It's night and day.
You
know,
it's night and day. You're not going to get away with things. And probably Humphrey understands that better than anybody because I've been really, you know, it's been impressive to see her kind of rejuvenate the latter part of her career this year with some stellar performance. After, you know, really, I think she probably as a veteran just has adjusted to life in the Sun Belt in a way that, you know, she's been around it. So I'm excited to watch them Wednesday at 5 ESPN Plus down in San Marcos. I think it's 5 Eastern for that game. But I really hope they get that. And I would love to see them have a shot Thursday morning at 11 against Louisiana. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'd be great. Pull off an upset and go on a little bit.
Especially since they're not, this tournament is not in Lafayette this year, with it being in San Marcos. It feels like a little bit more of a, you know, like, I don't know. It just feels like they'd have a good shot on that side of the bracket. So we'll see. The last team, Rob, still not pretty much happy thoughts for baseball. they took 2 out of 3 from Arkansas State this weekend. They continue to just crush the ball. I love Hunter Ensminger on the mound. Talk about a veteran pitcher who's just maximizing opportunity. It's been great. And they have a lot of winnable games ahead. They have their senior weekend is this weekend. The last home series is this weekend against Marshall. They really need to make hay in this series. They are currently sitting in sixth at, I think it's 13-10 in the belt. They're like a half a game because somebody has a tie in this stupid thing. Don't ask me how the Sun Belt works with somebody got a tie because the teams had to leave town or some crap. But they're like a half game out of fifth. They're a game out of fourth. I mean, they're right in the mix still. They are very much, as we keep seeing all the like bracketology things pop up, they seem to be, you know, very bubblicious team, right? Last four in, first four out. They continue to pop up there. Along, you know, they're not the only Sun Belt team there, but they play Marshall this weekend. Marshall is not good. They need to win the series. It would be greatly preferable for them to sweep this weekend because then they go to Tech next week. I think that's winnable. I mean, the midweeks are always weird in college baseball. And then they go to Troy the last week of the season. I don't have like... I did see that. Did you see that funny announcement from the NCAA, like trying to warn people against canceling games for RPI reasons at the end of the season?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, which is funny because JMU just canceled a game against USC up South Carolina upstate this week. We talked
is
about
that revenge for losing to them in the basketball CBI or CIT.
maybe. But we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think South Carolina upstate historically is actually,
it's actually pretty good in baseball.
Pretty good in baseball. Not that any of us have heard of them as an academic institution in any way, but like at least those of us not from Charlotte. But I don't think either of those teams would have canceled this for sort of net/RPI reasons. But it also was just so rich from the NCAA, Rob.
Yeah.
To say the selection committee who dings every mid-major team everywhere for not having a high enough RPI to then say, don't try to game the system by canceling an RPI game. Right. Like they were basically, I think what's been happening is teams schedule these, you know, they schedule these midweek one-offs and then late in the season, they just don't want to travel to wherever the heck they were going to go. And the team is really turns out to be bad. The opponent turns out to be bad. And so teams have been canceling some of these games to avoid taking a hit. And I think it seems to be pretty widespread from like all the way from, you know, the Vanderbilts of the world all the way down to the CAAs of the world. Like it's like everybody's doing this, you know, whether you're in the SEC or the CAA, I don't think everyone's trying to do it.
Yeah.
But baseball's also weird because they play like 17 million games and you know, for the teams who aren't from the South, half of them get rained out early in the season, like, or moved or postponed. And then I don't know. It seems so difficult to police. And it's like, if you're going to use RPI against us, then you can't turn around and tell us to not fiddle with it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's that is funny, and that's kind of just rich irony about the NCAA talking about people trying to game a system to get around their inadequacies in these selection committees.
Right. When they go on TV and say, like, you should have scheduled more teams or you shouldn't have done this.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Or don't play lesser opponents, whatever. It's crazy. I think, unfortunately, JMU's in a position where obviously Virginia Tech win would help, but I think if they get in, it's going to be by virtue of finishing in, you know, X top of a conference that is what, 5 or 6 in RPI. And I think they probably need to get to like 17 wins in conference. So the easy way would be to sweep Marshall and then take at least one at Troy. If they could do 2 games in each series,
yeah,
I think they're a lock.
Yeah, I think they'd be really close. And
they'd be really close. Like Louisiana's
Arkansas series, the Arkansas series at the very beginning of the season, and particularly the win in the Arkansas series, you know, is carrying a lot of weight for them right now.
Yeah.
And, it's really awesome that they have that kind of. I mean,
Troy is a daunting task or a huge opportunity, just how you want to look at it.
Troy's a big opportunity. Yeah. They're not running away with anything. Yeah, I think they're in second, but they're very much in that group that's just a, you know, two games ahead of JMU kind of thing. It's not.
No, I mean, Troy's red hot.
Good.
They're a really good team. Mm-hmm. They just beat Southern Miss, another ranked team. It's on the road. JMU has not won, you know, a lot of games on the road. I think they're 6-12. That's college baseball, though. That's not like a knock against JMU. If JMU could win that series and pick up a game or two of Marshall, they're in. No matter what happens to Virginia Tech. If they sweep Marshall, which they should do, but they probably...
Yeah, the best thing to do would be sweep Marshall, beat Tech, and get at least one at Troy, right?
That's probably the most realistic
way to get in.
Yeah.
Is make hay this weekend. And, you know, this, if you think of these home Marshall at Tech as kind of a four-game set, that's where they need to make, you know, they need to get three or four wins there.
What hurts is just JMU it's been a pretty good baseball season, but it's been typical in a lot of ways where you give away one game on a weekend against a weaker team that you really shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're on the bubble now.
Yep.
If they'd picked up one of those close games against Coastal, although Coastal has kind of fallen off the map
after
being a top 10 team earlier in the year.
Probably see them again in the Sun Belt tournament.
Yeah. They probably will. But I don't know. Yeah, like you said, Troy is sitting in second in the conference, but I think a lot of people would tell you that they might think Troy's the best team.
Right.
But Jamie's got a chance. I mean, you'd rather – they kind of control their own destiny in some sense.
Yeah, and I have to give them credit. I mean, even this weekend, you know, didn't want to drop that game to Arkansas State, but they did come back and win on Sunday to win the series. Like
they did.
They have done these things this year that maybe is the difference between the way they've been playing. They started to play a little bit like this last year. But last year, you know, that's been the real uptick for them from some real frustrating years before.
Yeah.
You know, was not being able to like salvage those things. So let's see what they got. It's going to be a lot of fun. And one thing's for sure, the Sun Belt baseball tournament in three weeks now? Not this weekend, not the next week. Yeah, three weekends.
Yeah, it's going to be a doozy.
Awesome to watch. Yeah. Really, really fun. So looking forward to all this. Rob, we're going to save some. We have some overtimes, but I think we both have some other obligations this evening. We're going to save them for a while. We're going to try to stay out of any beef. Right. encourage our friends everywhere. To do the same, right?
Serenity now.
My only comment on this is we have been over this and in the course of the various tweets and subtweets and everything else this weekend. Roll Dukes is acceptable, right, Rob? That has been our official position.
And so are black jerseys.
So are black jerseys. Actually, the softball black jerseys look sharp.
Yeah.
They're really good. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, black jerseys are fine. The Roll Dukes thing, just, you know, you just current, the youngs are much happier with that than we are. But that's why we should just let it roll. Go Dukes is still, you know, old people's airport greeting. But I'm fine. I'm certainly not going to police anybody's way of cheering for the Dukes. So
I think that's the right way to put it. Like,
yeah.
If it makes you happy and it's you being genuinely enthusiastic for the same school and teams that we love, I got no problem with it. I'm not going to hate on it.
Nope.
Black jerseys are cool though, man. I don't get all the hate for that.
They're certainly better than gray.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Gray are gross.
Yeah. And I know I'm not supposed to say this out loud, Rob, but just aesthetically, I don't particularly love the gold helmets, but
the old ones?
They're
boring.
Yeah. If they would go to like a shiny, like a Notre Dame kind of thing, I think I would probably come around on it. But yeah.
It looks not even like good gold. It looks like, you know, the not like real amusement parks, but like the janky, like You know, like,
yes, the like janky the
with like the, where they got like the motorcycles that you stand on and they're painted like really bad metallic and it's like purple. It's like that sort of gold. It's
You're at Wildwood or Ocean City or something. Not like a King's Dominion.
Not even that. Like the ones that the rotating ones.
The one they set up like in the mall by your house.
It's like in Fair Oaks Parking Lot.
Yeah.
It's not even like a good gold. It's like janky amusement park ride gold.
There we go.
So I think that's the official Pantone color name, actually.
Janky amusement park ride gold. I believe that is the correct one. Yeah. We're going to get all the hate now.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
See, we started up after all of our attempts to stay out.
After all of our attempts to stay out, you know, it's whatever. Bring it at us. You can tweet at us and we will just not respond we always do.
Right. Oh, Rob, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise, man. And I'm rooting for softball this weekend. Like,
and lacrosse.
And lacrosse. Yeah, let's hopefully go. Both teams going to run. And then baseball, sweep Marshall and take at least one against Troy. And they could see their name called.
Yeah. And then just appreciate this. Everybody just, you know, no matter what happens, I mean, lacrosse, ninth straight year in the tournament. And they are the fourth or fifth or sixth. I don't even know what JMU team to make the tournament this year. Like, it's incredible on a program level and it's incredible on a JMU level. So just like, let's say thank you and appreciate the end of this wild ride in the 23-24 year. And for softball, you know, no matter what happens Wednesday and Thursday, like, just appreciate what we've had with the players that are graduating this year, because they've been a really, really special part of this program. And, you know, we're rooting for both those teams no matter what. And then whatever we have left with baseball, let's enjoy it, because then we have to go in the summer and just sit around until fall camp starts and figure out stuff to talk about. So, let's enjoy
the dog days.
Yeah. And internecine warfare. Right. So, yeah, let's just
sectarian violence going
right,
on.
Right. Exactly. But, Rob, I will talk to you next week.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody.
Go Dukes.
Tonight, but I